The struggle continues. We learn our history so that we can go forward today. We now want to honor our awardees. Gene Bruskin is a working class Jewish kid from South Philly in Upper Darby, Pennsylvania. Who knew? Not yet. Gene didn't really have the resources to go away to a fancy college, but he was smart, he was determined, and he had a beautiful jump shot. With that, Gene was off to Princeton to play basketball with Bill Bradley. But it was the 60s and the 70s, and the political movements and the turmoil of the protest movements lured Gene out of the gym and into the streets. And he's been there ever since. Upon graduation, Gene moved to New York City, where he became involved in the anti-racism and the anti-war movements while teaching in the New York City public school system. By the early mid-70s, he made his way up to Boston. He became involved with others and organized the union for the Boston School Bus Drivers, United Steelworkers, Local number 8751. He became their first president. Throughout that time, there was a rising progressive movement of new labor activists around the city, and Gene was very instrumental in bringing these groups of people together, looking to build a more militant and action-oriented labor movement. Gene helped start some organizations that went through different names and configurations, but eventually ended up being what we now know as Jobs with Justice. Gene moved on to Washington, D.C., where he started working for different unions, always carrying his message of progressive economic and social justice. Equality for all was his carol call. In the early 90s, for a couple of years, he went and became Jesse Jackson's chief counsel of labor. He came back into the labor movement after a few years of that and eventually got hired by the UFCW to help them with their Smithfield strike down in Tar Heel, North Carolina. Gene got hired and he organized the Justice at Smithfield campaign. And he turned this unsuccessful union campaign that had been going on for 15 years into a national call for justice and action around the country. In 2005, I believe, the Workmen's Circle Children's Protest chose Smithfield as its target and did actions here in Boston. In 2008, the 5,000 hog slaughtering package workers in this plant in Tar Heel, North Carolina, formed, voted in their union, and became proud members of UFCW. Please welcome Gene Bruskin.
Thank you. There was a plant where they said you can't. So don't rave and rant no matter how you feel. It's no big deal because we're Smithfield and we own Tar Heel. Pigs are our deal from the squeal to the meal. In 92, the plant was complete, 1 million square feet, the biggest on earth, with a daily drill of a 32,000 hog kill, lines racing, workers facing, ungodly pacing, one motion every few seconds designed for body reckon, cause with no tail and no snout, you really don't count. Workers trampled by 300-pound hogs, fingers caught in machine cogs, wrists destroyed so they can't lift baby boys, flirting daily with disaster to meet the harsh terms of an unforgiving master. So the workers organized, wanting to unionize to save their lives. People rallied nationwide, demanding justice by the workers' side. They marched, picketed at supermarkets, refused to yield, and demanding justice at Smithfield. With Obama's North Carolina election win, the workers proclaimed, if we can change the White House, we can change the Hog House. If we can change the White House, we can change the Hog House. Workers leafleted daily at 4 a.m. calling for change we can believe in. Go for hope, not fear. Union time is here. Si se puede. When the word came with the final score of the election game, workers win. Smithfield shamed. Workers cried and danced in the cafeteria. There was hysteria. Organizers shouting. Company pouting. For 16 years, the company had lied and tried to claim that they spoke in the workers' name and that workers wanted things to stay the same. But hope springs eternal in the human soul. The workers reached their hard-fought goal. And as the next day's dawn was there, down in Tar Heel, you could hear the workers' chant became a cheer. We changed the Hog House. We changed the Hog House. We changed the Hog House. Thank you. So I hope that gave you a little picture of the Smithfield campaign.
People didn't, I didn't say that Gene is a poet. That's his poem that he wrote in honor of that victory that day. People also don't know, maybe, that he's a songwriter, he's a playwright, he's an actor, he's a singer, he's a person of great integrity, honesty, humility, and he still has that sweet jump shot. Gene Bruskin, I give this award today from the Workman's Circle.
Oh, boy, it's a bit much. So, you know, I think that I guess I felt like the poem is in the spirit of this magnificent event in this truly special Shula Workman's Circle. And your dynamic leader, Lisa Gallatin. I think what has happened here is that you have helped revive this really all-important culture in Jewish working class history. Just the incredible role that it has played, just the culture played in the civil rights movement, in the anti-apartheid movement, in the women's movement. We need this culture for our movement to flourish today. We need all kinds of culture. And all of this really makes me have to sort of ask myself, what does my Jewish background and roots have to do with the fact that I did this work and have done this work for workers in my whole life? So I grew up, as Dick said, in South Philly, and my father was a TV repairman. My mother had the hard task of trying to raise us. And my father abandoned his Orthodox Jewish upbringing to join the Communist Youth Movement in the 30s. And that's where he actually met my mom at a dance. But in my house, we didn't go to temple. We ignored Shabbat. We didn't do any religious holidays whatsoever. But my father was always singing Fiddler on the Roof, if I were a rich man, you know. And my grandparents had been hat makers in Russia, in the shtetl. And my great-grandparents, rather, and they were thrown down a well during a pogrom. My grandfather hid and eventually fled with my grandmother to this country, and they landed in Philadelphia. They opened up a hardware store on the corner of 5th and Porter, and it's still there, Bruskin's Hardware. 100 years later, so watch out, Home Depot, we're after you. So being Jewish was really been deeply embedded in my DNA. As far as I knew, we really hadn't been anything else for centuries. And, of course, Yiddish was everywhere in my house. You know, there was Fablunje, there was Fachakta, there was Oy Vey Is Mir. Anytime somebody wanted to be expressive, well, that there was Yiddish. No one said it, but we were really very comfortable in our own skin. We were steeped in our own tradition, and that meant identifying with the oppressed, regardless, really, of who they were. It's almost as if we had known, which we didn't, that in Deuteronomy it says, you shall not abuse a needy and destitute laborer, whether a fellow countryman or a stranger. As far as Jews and labor, wasn't it Moses that led the first general strike? And later I found out that the historic roles of Jews in the Russian labor movement, in the Russian socialist movement, of Leon Trotsky, of Rosa Luxemburg, of the prominent role of Jewish workers early in the years in the U.S. labor movement, in the Lawrence strike, the important role of Workmen's Circle in giving Jewish workers a home, a place to be in a difficult time where they could get support, they could cherish and nourish their own culture. And I learned of the many Jewish leaders that played such an important role in our history, of Samuel Gompers, of Emma Goldman, and Clara Lemlich, and so many others over the years, and then the many Jewish activists and progressive labor leaders and others in this room. So really, for me, I could not be prouder of my own progressive Jewish identity, of our tradition of fighting against oppression, not only our own, but of others. And in this worldwide struggle for justice that is being waged every day, somewhere, in some place, in many places on this earth, we can and we must embrace and define and continue to define our living Jewish tradition. So I cherish and applaud the work of the Workman's Circle. This award and this honor touches me deeply in my heart and in my soul. Thank you.
Labor activist Gene Bruskin accepting his award from the Boston Workmen's Circle.
So I have now really a great pleasure, and that is to introduce the next generation of union and social justice organizers, the children of the Boston's Workmen's Circle Sunday School, the Shula. I want all the Shula students, the graduate students, all of those current students who have been active and who have led the sweatshop protests over the years, everybody, come on up, all of you, everybody, come on up, let's go, everybody. The Workmen's Circle Sunday School teaches Jewish culture and history. And it's a very important part of the curriculum, is labor history. It's Jewish activism. It's the leadership of many progressive social justice movements and the role that Jews have played. And every year for 14 years, the Shula fifth grade class has organized a children's protest against sweatshops. It's amazing. The kids take the lead and they make a difference. In 2006, the Shula came out in support of the National Smithfield Campaign. And you can see them right up there. They organized a protest at the local supermarket. They demanded they take the Smithfield meat off the shelf until the workers were treated fairly. And Boston played a major role in winning that campaign. And the Workman's Circle Children's Protest was an important part of what happened in Boston. And as a result, 5,000 workers in Smithfield's plant in North Carolina have union, justice, and dignity on the job. Thank you. When it first started in 1999, the children's protest against sweatshops focused on popular retailers, Nike, Guess, places where the produce, where the clothing, rather, is produced in sweatshops in poor developing countries. In 2001, the fifth graders joined forces with Unite, the textile workers union, and passed an anti-sweatshop law in the city of Boston. And they were back again, out in the snow, protesting the sweatshops used by Walmart that have been made the Walmart family one of the richest in the world. They came out in the bitter cold and in the snow. They marched in support of the janitors at commercial cleaning companies in Boston. They marched in support of the Hyatt 100 when the entire housekeeping staff at the Boston Hotel was fired once and the jobs were contracted out, and these young people were there to stand with them. And just this year, victory again. They picketed at Trader Joe's to demand one penny more for the Immokalee tomato workers, and Trader Joe's caved in. They did what was right. So I just want to say to all of you that I cannot express enough how important it is, how inspiring it is, how hopeful it is to us in our generation that you are all standing up for what you believe in and that it's making a difference. And we thank you from the bottom of our heart.
Gene Breskin paying homage to the next generation of activists at the Boston Workmen's Circle presentation of As We Come Marching this past Sunday at the Boston Teachers Union Hall. A couple of the students got up to speak for themselves.
During our fifth grade year, we learned about how the Jewish immigrants worked in sweatshops and fought for their rights when they first came to America. Some Hyatt hotel workers came to talk to our class and told us how they were fired unfairly from their jobs. Our activist project was to picket the Hyatt Hotel for the 100 workers. These experiences will stay with us forever and make us sure that we will always be aware of the social justice issues in our society.
After I graduated in 2009 from Shul, I joined TASC, which is Teens Acting for Social Change. And it's been absolutely amazing to be able to watch all of this change happen before us, both in fifth grade, when I was in fifth grade for our Smithfield protest, and for the past 3 years working with TASC. So now we would like to invite all of the kids in the audience to join us in a picket line around the room.
Marching in, and the saints go marching in. I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. The saints go marching in.
The picket line marched around the room to the joys of all in attendance. You're listening to the Boston Workman Circle's presentation of As We Come Marching, celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Bread and Roses strike. This took place on Sunday, April 29th, 2012, in the Boston Teachers Union Hall, in the Dorchester section of Boston. After the picket, everyone sat back down for the closing presentation.
Sisters.
On March 13th, 9 weeks after the strike began, mill owners gave in to the strikers' demands, and a crowd of 15,000 workers gathered on Lawrence Common voted to accept the offer. Across New England, most other mills followed suit. 300,000 workers got raises. 12 million more in wages were paid the next year alone. But IWW leaders Joseph Ettore and Arturo Giovannitti were still in jail. They had been framed for murder during the strike and held in jail until their acquittal the following November. With no facts to even place them at the scene of the crime, the trial turned on the question of which strike Ettore and Giovannitti had led. Had it been the strike portrayed by the prosecution? Anarchic, incendiary, carefully crafted as the spark of a workers' revolution? Or had it been peaceful, even an inspiring strike, its only violence triggered by militia, cops, and provocateurs? Ettore rose to address the jury. "For my part, I have not been tried on my acts," he stated. "I have been tried here because of my social ideals, because I hold the view that all wealth is the product of labor and therefore should belong to labor." Then Giovannitti took the floor. "The jury had seen only one side of this great industrial question," he said. "But what about the ethical part? What about the better and nobler humanity where no man will ever be obliged to go on strike to obtain 50 cents a week more, where no children will have to starve?
My name is Chesenia, and I work for the Chelsea Collaborative. It's a nonprofit in the city of Chelsea. I did not rehearse for this part. But I'm here today, and I'm like all of this great energy. I want this energy to be transformed in the streets on May 1st, which is Tuesday, International Workers' Day, Immigrant Workers' Day. Are you going to march with us on May 1st? Yes. Are we going to chat out loud in the street for immigrant rights?
Yes.
Okay, so I have in front of here, in that table, flyers with information. We are going to be gathering and starting at Lopresti Park in East Boston at 2:30 p.m. From there, we're going to start marching all the way down to the city of Chelsea. In the city of Chelsea, I'm going to be waiting for you. So the march is going to depart at 3:30 together with the East Boston as a whole group, and it will commemorate International Workers' Day in the city of Everett. So I'll see you there. Workers united will never be defeated. The workers united will never be defeated. Trabajadores unidos jamás serán vencidos. Trabajadores unidos jamás serán vencidos. Thank you.
So, to close, I don't need this. We want you all to sing with us. The words are in your program for a well-known IWW song written in 1911, Pie in the Sky. We've added alle Schwester, all sisters. We stick by each other no matter what. You only need to know one word in Yiddish. Die, 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 die. So let's take it.
Oh,
a better world. For the percussionists, Grant Smith, Taki Masuka, Maureen Medeiros. To our art narrator and artistic consultant, Holly Newman. To the band. To our stage manager, Arik Gladstone. To our sound man, Dana Parsons. To our audience leaders, please stand up. Well, everyone's standing up. You all stand up. Everyone stand up. Yeah.
To our
ACL interpreter, Kim Shaw.
And let's hear it for MC Dick Muggs.
And finally, to our artistic director and creator of the program, Lisa Gallatin.
And your radio host, Chuck Rosina. As We Come Marching was produced by the Boston Workman's Circle for Jewish Culture and Social Justice. For more information about them, please visit www.circleboston.org. Thanks for listening.